It's the famous Gemara, the Gemara that says that Mishenichnas Ador Marbin Besimcha. So this is a very, very famous Rashi, much, much discussed Rashi. There's one word in Rashi which is a very big chiddush. One word. What's that one word in Rashi? Mishenichnas Ador Marbin Besimcha. So Rashi says, why Marbin Besimcha? Because these are the days of Nisim that happened on Purim and Pesach. So which word is the chiddush there?
Pesach.
Pesach is not in Ador. Rashi is clearly learning the Mishenichnas Ador Marbin Besimcha means until when? The Gemara doesn't tell you. From when Ador arrives, one has to be Marbin Besimcha. It doesn't tell you till when. So Rashi clearly learns that this continues not just until Purim, but after Purim, at least till Pesach. And the Gemara famously continues and says, therefore, if ever you need to have a din Torah with a goy, the best time to have it would be in Chodesh Adar. That's the most auspicious occasion. That's good mazel. So the Elia Rabba, who's a pirish on the Levush about 250 years ago, writes lahalocha, paskens lahalocha. If you need to have a din Torah with a goy, the best time to have it is either Chodesh Adar or Chodesh Nisan. And he says why? Because Rashi says Purim Pesach. It's one long process. So these are the times that we are, it's like an auspicious occasion for Yeshuais and Geulois and Nisim. In fact, I saw on Friday in the Bnei Yisoscha. Bnei Yisoscha writes, if this is a time of Nisim, in Adar and Nisan, this is when we can ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for all the Yeshuais that we need. Ono Hashem Hoshio No. What does No stand for? Nun Aleph, Adar and Nisan. On Hashem Hatzlicha, No, Adar Nisan. This is the time we can ask for all the Yeshuas. Every person needs their individual Yeshua, whether it's a Gashmius Yeshua or Ruchnius Yeshua, whether it's in business or Shalom Bayis or health or Chinuch HaYelodim or Gash, whatever it may be, learning, mitzvahs, soccer. Everybody needs their Chizuk, everybody needs their individual own Siyata Dishmaya. This is the most auspicious time of the year to Is Hashem asked for it, and Emes Hashem be answered. Okay, so we're beginning a brand new sugya. It's a Bruch Maboyim to our good friend from originally from Manchester.
Originally Manchester, yes.
But spent more time in Eretz Yisrael than in Manchester.
Yeah, 15 years.
Baron, Shmuel, right?
No, Moshe.
Ramosha. Ramosha Baron, all the way from Telstone. He has a number of children living here. Or Hashem, four or five children here in Ramat Hashem Shgimel. Is that right?
13.
No, but here in Gimel. Baruch Hashem. Well connected. Baruch Hashem. So it's a pleasure to be learning together. Let's make a start. We have a bit of a tight schedule this month now. We have 2 weeks and we're trying to finish the Masechta. We have a daf and a half. So, Hashem. Saturday Shmaya. So we began the Mishnah, and Avraham has a super duper high tech chart. Help us out. No, pen and pencil. That's the best.
There you go.
Oh,
it's here. It's here. Son.
It's the invisible chart. That's how high tech is.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah, must have been. Hold on. I'll find it.
It's there.
Must it's there. Somewhere. It's there. It's here somewhere.
So meanwhile, let's make a start. Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag on the first day of Sukkos Hayushom Yud Gimel Purim. There were 13 Purim. This is the famous series of Karbonis. The Purim that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos were brought in descending order. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Whereas all the other Karbonis were static. They were Kavua. So the first day there were 13 Purim. Elim Shnoim. There were two Elim, V'so'ir Echad, and one goat. Now, Nishtayru Shom, they remained after that, Yud Dalad Kvosim, 14 sheep. Remember, the number 14 is also Kavua, that doesn't change. So the two Elim does not change. The Soir Echod does not change. The Yud Dalad Kvosim does not change. The only thing that does change is the Purim. If you remember, we discussed last time, altogether there are 24 groups of Koyanim, they were known as the Mishmorais, And even though during the whole year there was a fixed order, every Mishmar had their turn. They couldn't just turn up in the Beis HaMikdash and decide to do the Avodah. Rather, it had to be their turn. But on Yom Tov was the exception. In what way was he the exception? Because they all did it. They were all there. All the ones.
Couldn't turn up?
No, they
all turned up. It didn't mean they could just go around doing what they wanted. We split the pot fairly. And this is exactly the discussion of our Mishnah. How is it that we split the karbonos between the various kohenim? But the premise is that all the kohenim were there. All 24 groups of kohenim were there. Now, if you have 13 parim, 2 elim and 1 soir, that is 16 karbonos. So we will allot 1 korban per mishmar. So far, fair is fair. But now the numbers don't add up, because that's what the Mishnah is telling us. You have 14 kvosim left, and how many mishmaris left? 8. Nishtai rusham yud dalad kvosim lishmoina mishmaris, because the first 16 sacrificed the first 16 korbanos. There's now 8 who haven't yet had a turn, but there's 14 kvosim that need to be sacrificed. Now, the only way, how do you split 14 in 2? 8. The only way is that some of the groups will have to double up. How many of them?
6.
6. Out of the 8 groups, 6 of them will sacrifice 2 parim, 2 kvosim. 6 times 2 is 12. And the last 2 will sacrifice just 1 each. That's 13 and 14. That's what the Mishnah says. B'yoyim rishoyin shisho makrivim shnayim shnayim. On the first day, 6 of those remaining 8 groups will sacrifice 2 and 2 and 2 and 2. V'hashar, and the remaining 2 groups, echod, echod, they did 1 each. Says Rashi, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, V'kol HaMishmoris, all of the groups, says Rashi, Oilois L'Regel, would all be Oile L'Regel. What's Rashi pointing out for us? Rashi's pointing out that as opposed to the rest of the year when all of the mishmaris were not there, there was only one mishmar ever serving in the Beis HaMikdash. But here they were all there. V'sheish esrei mehem, says Rashi, 16 of them, makrivin, they would sacrifice sheish esrei behemois halalu, these 16, which was the 13 plus the 2 plus the 1, Nishtairu, what's remaining? 14 sheep to be split up between 8 groups. The kol hamishmorois zoichos, because all of the groups were zoichos, says Rashi, b'choivos, with those mandatory korbonos habois machmas horegel beregel, that come as a result of Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Meaning, if there was just a voluntary korban, somebody just showed up in the Beis HaMikdash and says, I'd like to be makriv a korban toida. Really, why? Because my wife had a baby, because we just zeicher to put up a new shul, because I've just come from the desert, whatever it is. That's nothing to do with the Yom Tov korban. So therefore, that wasn't necessarily split up between these 24 kohenim. But the Yom Tov korbanos are split up between all the mishmaris. V'ein mishmar shel oiso Shabbos. The mishmar of that week, remember, all the 24 mishmaris were there, that's true. But it was still the week of one particular mishmar. So that particular mishmar, what was their achrayas to sacrifice what? Those karbonos that had nothing to do with the Yom Tov. But they cannot say, listen, it's our potluck. We ended up being in attendance in the week of Yom Tov, so maybe we should do everything. No. Ein mishmar shel oisa Shabbos yecholo la'akev alehen. The mishmar of that week cannot be ma'akev. What does ma'akev mean? Cannot prevent them. Kedamri number Gemara, as we'll say in the Gemara. So we say, no, you have no right. It's true that you are the official officiating mishmar at the moment, but that only means that you sacrifice the non-Yom Tov related karbonis. But those karbonis that were Yom Tov related, they were split between all the mishmaris who were there in attendance. Says Rashi, first narrow line, Yom HaRishayin, Shehayu Shmoina Mishmores, there were eight remaining groups, Leyud Dalet Kevosim, for 14 sheep, therefore the numbers work out as follows. Shisha Mishmores Min HaShmoina, six groups out of the eight, Hayu Makrivin Shnei Kevosim, sacrifice two sheep, Kol Achas Mehen, each group, that's 6 times 2, which is 12. Hare, Shnaim, Oso, Kvasim, that's 12 sheep. Bahashar, says Rashi, Shnaim, Hanoi, Sorois. The two remaining groups who haven't yet had a turn to do anything, Makrivois, Echot, Echot, they would just do one. So 6 did 2, and 2 did 1. So altogether, would you agree to me, out of 24 groups, how many groups sacrificed one korban and how many two on the first day?
18.
Exactly, 18. Because like we said, the original 16, and then the last two of the kvosim. There were six groups who were lucky enough, and we'll discuss in the Gemara how it is that we picked who's who, but there were six groups who had a double turn, which of course is no other choice, because there's 24 groups, and there's more than 24 korbanos. It's 30 korbanos, actually, on the first day. Now, why does the Mishnah have to continue? The Mishnah obviously has to continue because the cheshbon that we just said is only true for the first day. What changes on the second day? There were not 13 porim, there were 12 porim. So I think the best way to learn this is just to work it out ourselves, and then we'll see it all in the Mishnah. On the second day, there were 12 Purim, again, plus 2 Elim, plus 1 Soir, which is not 16, is therefore 15. Therefore, 16 groups would not be necessary, you only need 15. The 14 Kvasim now does not need to be split up into 8 groups, but rather into 9 groups. We've got an extra group. So how do you split 14 into 9 groups?
5 doubles.
So 5 do doubles. That gets you 2, 10. And the last 4 do 1 each. So on the first day, 6 did doubled. But on the next day, only 5 did doubled. And that changed every single day. So again, on the first day, 6 groups did 2 korbanos. The remaining 2 did 1. On the second day, 5 groups did 2 korbanos and the remaining 4. They did 2, the remaining 4 did 1. Now let's go to the third day. On the third day, you've gone from 13 to 12 to 11. So 11 and 2 and 1 is 14 korbanos. So I'm only now using 14 groups. I've now got not 8, not 9, I've got 10 spare groups. And again, to be split up, 14 korbanos. So how do I split up 14 korbanos into 10 groups?
Four
so 4 will double over, that will get me to 8. And then 6 will have 1 each, gets you to 14. And so on and so forth. So even though the numbers change every day, but the cheshbon is actually extremely simple. The first lot of korbanos is 1 korban per group, and then you've got to split the 14 kvosim between however many groups remain. As simple as that. So let's go right in the Mishnah. On the fifth line of the Mishnah. Besheni, on the second day. Chamisha, makrivim, shnaim, shnaim. 5 groups would sacrifice 2 each. Vahashar, echod, echod. Says Rashi. Besheni shenismait echod min haporim. One of the porim has been decreased, meaning I've gone from 13 to 12. Venishtairu tisha mishmoris. Therefore, I've now got 9 groups left over leyud dalet kvosim for the 14 sheep. So how do I split 14 into 9 groups? Says Rashi. Chamisha mehen makrivim shnaim shnaim. 5 groups would do 2 each, Hare Asorah, that gets you to 10. Vahashar, that's another 4 groups, Arbo, Hanoi Sarois. The 4 remaining groups, Makrivois, Kolechos, Keves, Echot. That's 5 times 2 is 10. plus 4 times 1 is 4, 10 and 4 is 14. Simple as that. Back into the Mishnah. Bishlishi. Dalad makrivim shnaim shnaim, vashar echod echod. Boravi shloisha makrivim shnaim shnaim, vashar echod echod. Bachamishi shnaim makrivim shnaim shnaim, vashar echod echod. Bashishi echod makriv shnaim, vashar echod echod. So we get in every single day, there's one korban left, less, with regard to the Purim, which means, therefore, there are more groups available to sacrifice the 14 kvasim. Until you get to the final day of Sukkos. Now remember, again, what was the series of the Purim? 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So on the last day of Yom Tov, which is Hishana Rabbah, how many Purim are we sacrificing?
Seven.
That's seven groups. Plus two Elim, plus one Sa'ir is another three. That's 10 groups. How many groups therefore remain? 14. And how many Korbanos? 14. So on the last day, nobody needs to double up. And that's what the Mishnah says, B'shvi kulon shavim. When you get to the seventh and everybody is equal, what does that mean everybody is equal? Every group is doing one korban because there's absolutely no necessity for anybody to double up. Says Rashi, Bishlishi shenismait oid echod min haporim. On the third day where there is a further reduction in the amount of porim, v'nish'aru asara, now there will be 10 groups that remain. Asara mishmores l'yudalet kvasim. So arba'o makrivim shnaim shnaim davele shmoina, that gets you to 8. Vashar echod echod shisha kvasim l'shisha mishmores, 6 for the 6. Rashi doesn't even bother anymore helping you out with mathematics because he expects that after 2 or 3 examples we can work out the rest ourselves. But Rashi does, however, get to the last case, says Rashi, bashvi kulon shavin. So how does that work out? Very simply. Kol hamishmorais hamakrivois kvosim, all of the groups that are being makriv, the kvosim, the sheep, as opposed to the previous day, on this day, shavois, they will all be equal, i.e. one each. Shekol achas makreves echot. Each one will be makriv one, no more, no less. Why? Very simple. Shahare einom elo shiva porim. There were only 7 porim to start off with, plus ve'elim shnaim v'soir echot. So 7 and 2 and 1 is 10. In which case, that goes la'asara mishmores for 10 mishmores. Nishtairu yud dalet kvasim. There will remain, therefore, 14 sheep, l'yud dalet mishmores for 14 mishmores, therefore each mishmar gets one sheep. As simple as that. Now, says the Mishnah in conclusion, bashmini chozru lepayos kebaragolim. What does that mean on the shmini? Everything is worked out just fine on days 1, 2, 3, all the way to 7. Now we get to Shmini Atzeres, which is essentially a different Yom Tov. It's a Chag B'fnei Atzmei, as we learned early on in the Masechta. It's a brand new Yom Tov, has no relationship l'chayra with Sukkos. So now, one second, we have a bunch of korbanos that need to be sacrificed on Shmini Atzeres. The question being, who gets to sacrifice them? So let's immediately see Rashi, because first we need to investigate how many korbanos were actually sacrificed on Shmini Atzeres. So, until this point has been 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. How many porim are there? Par? Echot. Why only one? Because the first 7 days, 13 and 12 and 11 and 10 and 9 and 8 and 7 adds up to the magic number
70
for all the nations. Why does it go down in ascending order? Because Rashi says this is to signify that all the 70 nations will just disappear and fade away. And ultimately, what are you left with?
One
par. Kodesh Baruch Hu, together with Klal Yisrael, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu famously says, Koshe Olai. It's difficult that you're leaving me. Please stay one more day. And there will be, as it were, a yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with Klal Yisrael. We've mentioned in the past a very, very beautiful idea. I remember my mother's advice to me when I wet my wife to be. There I was, fresh out of yeshiva, still in yeshiva, yeshiva bocha. I had no idea what do you do when you go on a shidduch, you meet this girl, what are you supposed to do? So my mother gave me instruction, yeah, you ask her what her hobbies are, and the family, and the nail. But then she gave me the best advice. I said, well, how do I know when, you know, if it's the right one? So she says, well, when you're spending time together and the conversation goes silent and you still feel comfortable in each other's company, that's a very good sign. What did she mean by that? If you meet somebody for the first time, you don't know them, there's no relationship. Therefore, the relationship has to have some medium, whether it be we eat a meal together or we make small talk together. If there's nothing between us, there's nothing to connect us. Whereas if we enjoy each other's company, then we're quite happy just to enjoy each other's company. So what's that got to do with what we're learning? So some explain that that is the whole process of the Purim, 13, 12, 11, besides for the idea of the 70 nations, but there's another idea over here. Wouldn't you expect that as you go through the Yom Tov, you're developing the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you should step up the amount of Purim, not step them down. So Rashi and Parshas Pinchas explains, and he says, because when you have a guest, on the first day you give him fattened calves, and the next day you give him chicken, on the third day you give him fish, on the fourth day you give him vegetables. Really, that's the way it works? Yes, because on the first day I've got nothing to talk to him about because I don't know the fellow. So I give him plenty of food, and we'll discuss the food. And the next day, I can give him less quality food because I don't need to impress him because we've begun to build up a relationship, etc., etc. So therefore, on Sukkot, we begin with 13 and 12 and 11 and 10, and less is therefore necessary to maintain that relationship until you get to Shmini Atzeres, and what's left? Nothing. There's no Sukkah, there's no Lulav, there's no Esrog, there's no Simchas Beis HaSheva, there's no Nisuch HaMayim, there's no nothing. What is there? There's one mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? That's the only mitzvah, to be with Simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that denotes this idea that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because there is this famous question, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's very hard for me to leave, or hard for me to see you leave, so stay one more day. So what's the obvious question? Well, how does that achieve anything? So it comes to the end of Yom Tov, and Kodesh Baruch Hu will say, it's hard for me to leave again. The answer is, no, it's not hard for me to leave again anymore. Why? Because we've clearly demonstrated on Shmini Atzeres that we can maintain a relationship even without any medium of Sukkah and Arba Minim and Simchas Beis HaSheva, but that will enable us to travel now through the long winter even without any Chagim. There's no Yom Tovim, at least Min HaTorah, from Sukkot all the way to Pesach. It's the longest stretch of the year. The answer is, as it were, it's not necessary. Because we've clearly demonstrated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can have a Yom Tov in which, kaviyochel, we just enjoy each other's company. That is the idea of Shmini Atzeres. But back to what we were saying before, if the 70 cows denote the fading away of the 70 nations, 13, 12, etc., all the way to 7, on Shmini Atzeres you have one par. That one par denotes the one nation of Klal Yisrael. So Rashi says, Bishmini choizrim lepayis kibergolim, par echod va'ayil echod. One cow and one ayil. Veshiva kvasim. So it's one par, one aisle, and shiva kvasim. It's nine korbonos. So the question is, who gets to sacrifice them? Says Rashi. Hakrevim b'shmini, those korbonos that we just mentioned that are sacrificed on the eighth day, the one and the one and the seven, ein krevim keseda korbonos hachag. Those are not sacrificed in the same order as the korbanos of the Chag, meaning Sukkot, were. The korbanos of the Chag was very neatly organized. 40 groups and 30 groups and 12 and 2 times 2, and all very neat. Shmini Atzeres, it's back to square one. What does that mean? On the Chag, says Rashi, shekorvu lefi seder mishmores. There was a seder. The 24 Mishmaris had a Seder each one a separate name, and as it were, a different number. So when we said before, the 13 groups, and the 14 groups, and the 10 groups, which groups? There was a Seder. When it came to Shmini Atzeres, it was all different. K'daboinon lefarushe b'maskona. As we are going to explain in the Maskana, that was true when it came to Sukkos. When it came to Shmini Atzeres, it was all different. Rather, Elo, kol hamishmarais bo'ois umefisois aleim. This word that we're going to have to get used to, because we're going to use it a lot now, the word pious. Pious means a lottery. So they did a geirul in the Beis HaMikdash, which in fact they did a geirul always. That's what Rashi says now. In which way is Sukkos unique? Sukkos is unique in that there were plenty of korbanos, more than any other chag. Therefore, the fact that all the mishmaris were there didn't pose a problem at all. Why? Because there's enough to go around for everybody. But on Shavuos and on Pesach, where all the mishmaris are there as well. Obviously, all of Klal Yisrael are there, being Ola Regel. There, we had a big problem. There, there's very few korbanos. Not enough for 24 groups. What do they do? There's no other choice but a pious. Says Rashi, that's what happened on Shmini Atzeres as well. That's what he means when he says, K'moisha mefisin b'shar regolim, just like they did a pious on other Yomim Tovim. Why? She'ein korbanoseihen merubin. Their korbanos were not so plentiful, la'krivon l'fi ha'seder, to allow us to be makriv according to an order, u'la'hashvois bohen, and to equate kol ha'mishmoris. There isn't enough. On Sukkos, there's enough for everybody, and everybody can be equated pretty much. But on Shavuos and Pesach, that wasn't a possibility. So, I'm very, very sorry to tell you, it's going to have to go to a pious, and it's the luck of the draw. Says Rashi, so too on Shmini Atzeres. Says Rashi, af b'shmini, kulon mefaisin. They all had to enter the hat, as it were, v'hazoicha b'pious. And whoever was zeich in the lottery, makrivoi, he would be the one to sacrifice. Or b'seida yuma, if you look in the Gemara, yuma mefarish, there it is explained, heich mefaisin. Exactly how the lottery went around, it actually wasn't names in a hat. So like we do, tickets in the lottery, there was a kohenim all stood in a circle, they stuck out their finger, and the kohen got all the choose. There was a whole process, but the principle was the same. So Rashi tells us that for the moment, it's unnecessary to get involved in the technicalities of the pious. Suffice to say that the pious took place. Now, what is the Mishnah stressing?
Thumbs up.
What is the Mishnah now stressing? If not for the Mishnah adding this line, what might I have thought? I might have thought that the eighth day was, as it were, a continuation from a Sukkos. So whatever the order of the Mishmaris was, basically, next, please. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that no, it's not. It's a separate, completely separate Yom Tov. Now, if you remember, have a look to Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph.
Oh,
it's being discovered.
Oh,
yeah. Have a look at Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph. So if you look at the very last line of that Mem Zayin on the base, the bottom line says that Tanya Kvasid Rav Nachman, Shmini Regel Bifnei Atzmoy. Shmini Atzeres is a regel, is a Yom Tov in its own right. It's not considered a continuation of Sukkos. And what does it say on the top line? Le'inyan, Pazar Keshav, the six things. And what's the first one? Pious Bifnei Atzmon. So look at that top Rashi now, and I think now we'll appreciate it in greater depth. Rashi says, Pazar Keshav, it's a simon hook and a farish vazel. Pious b'fnei atzmo. What does that mean, pious b'fnei atzmo? It says Rashi, Shebechol porei hachag, all the porim of the chag, meaning on Sukkos, loy hoyu matilin pious. they did not throw a lottery, Eza Mishmar Yakriv, to decide which Mishmar will sacrifice. Why? Lefi, because Shabaseda Hoyuma Kriven Oysom. There was an order. Shekol Chof Dalid Mishmarois, all 24 groups, Shoinois, Umashal Shois Bahen, they were double over and triple over. Chutz Mishtaim, except for two groups, as we're going to discuss later on, Kedamrina Behachalil. So when it came to the first 7 days of Sukkot, they all had either two goes or three goes, but it was a fixed Seder, therefore there was no pious.
There was a pious to decide the order.
Oh, we'll get, no. Only the last two, we'll see in the Gemara. Upar deshmini betchilo mefaisin olav. But on the par of the shmini, that was decided alidei pious. Says Rashi, therefore, that's what the pay. We have the remez of top line of the Gemara, Pazar Keshav. Each letter stands for something else. The pay stands for pious. The Shmini Atzeres is considered a brand new, separate, freestanding Yom Tov, in that the Korbonis of the Shmini Atzeres are decided alidei pious, and they are not just evenly split up between the Mishmores as they were on Sukkos.
How do they line up?
Oh, so we'll see. Let's have a look. Now, we have one more line left of the Mishnah. And here you have to have a bit of a mathematical mind. Again, Bishmini Chozru L'Pais, they went back to a pious. Kibaragolim. What does that mean, Kibaragolim?
Just
like all other Yomim Tovim, as we said, there weren't enough korbanos to go around, therefore there was no other way of deciding it other than a pious. Now, Omru, it was said, Mi Shehikriv Porim Hayoim Loi Yakriv Lemocho. Whoever sacrificed Purim today did not sacrifice Purim tomorrow. Elo, Choizrin Cholila went back. Now what does that mean? Until this line in the Mishnah, we've only been told how many groups did each korban. But we were not told which groups did them. So let's go on day one, for example. You have 13 Purim, 2 Elim, 1, sorry, that's 16 korbanos for 16 groups. You've then got 14 kvasim that need to be split up with the remaining 8. Okay. So the numbers, I understand how they work out, but which group did which? So all the different groups had a seder. There was a turn. There was group number 1, group number 2, group number 3. So now, on day 1, groups number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 did the Purim. They did the Purim. Groups number 14 and 15 did the 2 Elim. Group 16 did the Sa'ir. That's 1 to 16 booked. Groups 17 and onwards till 24, they were the ones who split the pot when it came to the Kvasim. Okay, now you come to day 2, there is not 13 Purim, there's 12. 12 and 2 and 1. So I need now 15 groups. Which groups will they be? 1 to 15?
No.
Where do you begin?
14.
After the groups that sacrificed yesterday. So let's have a look now at Rashi. Rashi explains. Towards the end of the narrow lines. Omru, mi shohayo makriv hayoim porim, whoever sacrificed porim today, loy hayo makriv lamochar porim, they did not get to sacrifice porim the next day. Says Rashi. She'ein.
Is there a different number of hashivas in the animals themselves? Is it all the same, like whether it's far or kevins?
Not sure. She'ein hamishmorois shehikrivu kvosim esmoil manichem oisam. The groups that sacrificed the sheep, which were on day one, groups 17, 18, 19, all the way to 24, they didn't allow the same groups that did the Purim yesterday to do them again, and we get to do the Kvasim again. No. Elo, Choyzrin Chalila. The circle, right, the rotation continues. It was a very neat system. V'nimtzu, and Rashi says, I'm going to explain it all in a moment, but you know what turns out at the end of the day? It turns out, Kulon Shoinois Umashalshois. They all did two or three Purim Chutz Mishtaim. Except for two groups, Sheshoinois, they only did two, Vein Mashalshois, and didn't do three. So every group sacrificed Purim, then they had a second turn, and then they had a third turn. There were two groups, however, that lost out. Now, but just before we see the Hemshech of Rashi, we understand ourselves, mathematics is extremely simple. Why? Because how many Purim were there altogether over 70, the 7 days?
70.
How many Mishmaris are there?
24.
24. Well, divide 70 into 24 groups. 24 times 3 is 72. So for they all did three, and you got two remaining groups, and they didn't do it. Simple, very, very simple. So what the Mishnah is stressing is, don't make a mistake of thinking that there was the same groups who kept doing the Purim again and again and again. Just it went down from 13, 12, 11, 10, 10. No, it went round between all the 24 so that it was split up as evenly as you could possibly do it. Now, it's not absolutely even, because 70 does not divide up into 24. Bad luck. But every group, therefore, did twice, and almost every group did thrice, three times, except for two groups. That's the way it works out. Rashi says, Ketzad, how is this? So, extremely simple. Bayom Harishon, on the first day, Hoyu Yud Gimel Purim. As we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, there were 13 Purim, Ve'ikrivu Yud Gimel Mishmaris. And 13 groups sacrificed them. The question being, which 13? The answer is, says Rashi, Kederech Shesidrum B'divrei Hayomim. In the way that they are clearly ordered in Divrei Hayomim. If you look in Divrei, what is Divrei Hayomim? Divrei Hayomim is, the, as it were, the history of all the names of Klal Yisrael. It starts off literally with Adam Arishon. And it goes through the whole history. Now, it discusses there all the names of the groups of the Kohanim, but not just their names, the order as well. There's group one, there's group two, there's group three. How they were Zeicha to get the position of group one, two, three, I'm not sure. Says Rashi, as it says there, Yehoiriv is Rishon. So Yehoiriv is group number one. Va'acharov, and after them, Yedaya Chorim. That's the name of group number two. So it's clearly listed every single group where they take their place in the order. Kulon, says Rashi, Kamois Shehein Sudurim. Kor. Exactly as they were ordered. So when they all came, remember there's 24 groups, it's not like children in a playground all rushing to get the lolly after dark. There was an order, no point fighting. Group number one, two, three, four, six. I don't know which number I am. Open Divrei Hayomim, you'll see exactly what number you are. 13 groups, numbers 1 to 13, did 13 Purim. Simple as that.
Is this the same order used throughout the year when they would come Kavua?
Yeah, each week, okay. Yeah. Now, if I've used so far 13 groups, so how many groups remain? 11 to get to the 24. That's what Rashi says now. Nishtairu ashtei asoro achreinois. There remain now the last 11 groups, and what did they have to do? Le'elim or le'kvasin. There is a word missed out in Rashi. What is that? So'ir. I saw the back in the Rashash, they amend Rashi. For some reason, so'ir is omitted. I don't know why.
Partly because in Shmini Yetzirah, they don't bring the so'ir.
Not about Shmini Yetzirah, on the first day. It's about day one. So it's an amendment. It should say, the last 11 groups, what is their function? They have to sacrifice the Elim, the Kvasim. Fine. Now, Ulamocharos. So we know how those 11 groups were split up. How were they split up? Two groups did the Elim, so we're down to 9. One group did the So'ir, we're down to 8. The 8 remaining groups, they had to split the 14 kvasim, as we said. So 6 did 2 and 2 did 1. Fine, that's the way it worked. Now, on day 2, there are no 13 parim. There are 12 parim. So which groups will do them? Again, you begin from the very start? No. Says Rashi, Lemocharos. The next day, Hoyushnaim Osar Parim. There were 12 Purim. Do you know who sacrificed them? Not the first 13 groups. Rather, where did you begin? From group number 14. Umakrivin Oisan. Do you know who sacrificed them? Hanach Yud Aleph Mishmoris. Those 11 remaining groups. One second, we have one left over. We go back to the beginning. That's what it means, V'chayza Chalila. V'chayza Yahoyriv. Remember we said Yahoyriv is the first one. So he sacrificed on day 1. And on day 2, he got that last remaining power. U'makriv Echot Nimtza. So it therefore turns out, Sheshana Yahoyriv Levadoi. The Yahoyriv is the only single Mishmar who has so far has got to do 2 parim, one on the first day, one on the second. Now, on the third day, where will we begin now? From group 2. Not from Yehoiriv. Sorry, you've already done 2. They've only done 1. It's their turn now. Bashlishi hoyu echad osa parim. We've gone from 13 to 12 to 11. There were 11 parim. Where do they begin from? Vikrivom Yud Aleph Mishmorois She'achare Yehoiriv. So the 12 groups following Yehoiriv, they were the ones who did the 11 Purim. So who has now doubled over? The first group, i.e. Yehoiriv, and also the 11 following groups. That means how many groups have been Makriv 2 Purim? 12. Says Rashi, Nimtza Sheshanu Yud Beis Mishmaris. So over the course of the first 3 days of Yom Tov, the first 12 groups have all had 2 turns. Now, Rashi says, let's continue with the Cheshbon. Baravi Hoyu Asara Purim. On the fourth day, there were 10 Purim. Now again, where do you begin from? Vikrivom Asoro Mishmorois Shelachareihem. So now it's the next 10. So again, if 12 groups had so far had 2 turns, and now it's another 10, so where are we up to now? 22. 22 groups over the course of the first 4 days. I've had 2 turns, that's what Rashi says. Hare Shoshanu Nimtzu Chof Beis Mishmorai. So far, 22 groups. Shoinois. They've had twice. Let's carry on. Bachamishi Tisha Parim. So, how am I going to split the 9? 2 for the last 2 groups. Shtei Mishmorai Suachroinois. Hikrivu Shnaim Mehen, 2 of the 9. V'choza Yehoiriv. And now what are we doing?
Back to the beginning.
All the way back to the beginning to Yehoiriv, plus 6 more. because I've got 9 korbanos. It's the last 2 plus 7. Yehoiriv plus 6 more. V'sheish mismorei shel ha'achrov v'ekrivu shiva, and they did their 7. Harei. How many groups have now done 3 turns? 7 groups. Harei she'shilshu shiva mishmorais. Now 7 groups have had 3 turns. Okay, let's keep going. Bashishi, there are shmoina porim. So where will I group? Where will I begin from?
8.
From number 8. Ve'krivom hashmoina shalachareihem. So 7 groups have had 3 turns. Now it's another 8, so we're up to 15. Hare tesvov mishmorais sheshilshu. That's 15 groups altogether that have had 3 turns. And bashri shiva porim. Le shiva mishmoris. So 15 groups have so far had 3 turns. And now there's 7 more. That gets you to 22. So we're too short. Nimtzu'u kulon meshal shois. Therefore it turns out that everybody does it 3 times. Chutz mishtaim pachreinos, except for the last 2. Bad luck for them. There's no choice. There's 70 karbonas, there's no 72. There'll be 72, you can have all 24 having 3 turns. There are 70. So for the chiddush is that everybody gets to do it once, then twice, and then 3 times until the numbers ran up. And that's what it means. Have a look again at the last line of the Mishnah. Omru mi shehikriv porim hayoim. Whoever sacrificed Purim today, you can be rest assured that what? Lo yakriv lamocha.
That's not true, 100%. There's one case.
Yehoriv. That's true, on the first day. Yeah, quite right. Good point. Elo chayzrin chalila, they would go back right to the beginning.
They're not doing a par on the first day.
Sorry?
They're not doing a
par. Yes. Everybody did a par on the first day, I mean the first 13 groups. And then on the next day, there were 12. So groups number 14 and onwards, all the way to 24. There was one remaining, so Yehoriv did again.
Go back to the beginning.
So he actually did on 2 successive days. It was the only time. Yeah. Okay.
But it was a parim?
Yeah.
So you had 13 parim and then 12 parim. That's 25 parim in the first 2 days.
See?
It has to. Even without the chart, if there were 13 parim on the first day and 12 on the second day.
That's 25.
That's 25. Reb Nachum. 13 parim on the first day, 12 on the second day. What's 13 and 12? 25, and how many groups were there? 24. Somebody has to have 2 goes, and that was Yehoriv. So you're right. Technically, you're asking a good shayla, Reb Avram. When the Mishnah says that nobody ever did Purim back to back, technically that's not actually true. Yehoriv did on the second day get to sacrifice once again. Could be somebody points this out. Okay.
So Eldad made up for to give them a compensation.
Okay, we'll hold it over here. This mission is not difficult, it's just a bit complicated. It's not difficult, but all the numbers really work out. You just have to draw a chart or a table. Okay, Imitz Hashem, tomorrow we will Be'ez Hashem learn the Gemara and we'll make a start and maybe try and work our way down to the bottom of the Amud, next Mishnah as well. Shouldn't be too difficult, Gemara. But really the aim of the game is to try our best to reach the Mishnah pretty much by the end of the week. Not sure if that's going to be a possibility, but maybe it will. Okay. Great to have you with us. Is it a regular occurrence? Or
I don't know. As much as I can get left in, it'll be a regular appearance.
Fine.
But
always welcome.